7 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Oh, by the way, too, I'm getting emails now from City of Mobile and other places about their fireworks displays. Okay, I'm not saying y'all, and we will post all these up next week for Independence Day. All this material will be up. Don't get all gunched up out there that I, because the fireworks display we go to on Independence Day each year is at Dolphin Island. That's where our family goes. That's where we like it. It does not mean there are not great fireworks shows. Other municipalities that are inundating my email this morning, y'all have great fireworks shows too, all right? I'm not there. Now, sometimes I can be where I can see them, you know, at a distance and stuff, but I doesn't mean it's not great. So we'll talk about all those fireworks displays. Don't get
the closer we get to Independence Day.
Yeah, they're saying like, oh, well, we're doing, okay, I know y'all are doing one too. All right. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock, and time to check in with our friend Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and a man who spends more windshield time in the state of Alabama than any of the politicians that tell you. I've been in 67 counties and met with every group. Yeah, they got nothing on my buddy Jeff. Hey, man.
Where hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Good. Yeah, where are you today? I mean, where are you? North Alabama?
I'm in Athens at the WVNN Studios, home of the Del Jackson Show this morning. But this morning before here, I spent some time in Fort Payne, Alabama, DeKalb County, and yesterday spent some time in Jackson County in Scottsboro. I met with the editor of the local newspaper there.
Now, did you get to, while in Fort Payne, go to the Alabama Museum? I mean, not for the state. I mean, for the country music group.
It was closed by the time I had got into town.
Darn it.
But I kind of did my my usual thing is to kind of walk around in downtown and just kind of check it out. My impressions are the people are very nice. I mean, that's true of most places in Alabama. But there's a lot of cool historic buildings there. And one of my favorite things to see in that part of the state, and I think you and probably a lot of your listeners know about the Sea Rock City Barns and the Ruby Falls stuff.
Yep.
You could ride around the countryside and just see them. You know, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah. Well, and it is. People in Fort Payne are great. We go up there each year, going up onto the mountain at Mentone, so I love it. But let's talk about something involving, well, maybe not all 67 counties of the state of Alabama, but a significant, and maybe it is. Maybe it's going to be a county versus county debate. President Trump pushing these tariffs. We're already seeing, seeing issues with it. The governor has put out pleas to the Trump administration to back off of this because what it means in automotive jobs in the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And last week, you know, I said good for the governor because even they can be a supporter of President Trump, but at some point you have to be fighting for your home state. But you told me earlier that au contraire, that maybe these tariffs are good for Alabama, not bad.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say good. I would say that there's an argument that could be made that there's a time and a place for them. I think you could look at a lot of places in the state that have been hit by trade policy, that have been affected by trade policy. I'm not saying that, you know, a lot of this has to do with cheap labor and just chasing cheaper labor. But there's also the case you can make that these countries, the European Union, China, Canada, even they put tariffs on our goods that we export, and we're just returning the favor. But I think right now, though, the problem there's not a good mouthpiece out there for the Trump administration with regards to the whole trade policy thing in Alabama as it pertains to Alabama. It's affecting a lot of the existing things, and what they need, and they're just getting clobbered on this, they need somebody to show where this is good. I think there is that case to be made. You could show where potentially we're just trying to level the playing field and set up a better conditions to make sure our goods and products, you know, get fair treatment in other markets. but they're not doing that. And it's, and, you know, and I think that the worry is it's going to affect some of the existing things in Alabama.
I think you have a valid discussion point. I disagree with part of it, and you're way savvier in this than I. Let me frame it this way: going out and stumping or talking about the fact that jobs that have been lost in the past, right? Let's lament those jobs. Number one, you got to convince people they're ever coming back, and these tariffs will bring them back. Versus a situation where you have, let's say, you have a Toyota Mazda, or you have a Kia, or you have a Mercedes, cut back production and lay people off. That is, or the Port of Mobile talking about the export issues they're having, and you know, fewer people working, or these kind of things. If I had to pick one as a political plank, I'd go with the latter.
Right, and that's fair, but we don't see the other side of that equation necessarily. We don't know that if there's, and this is where the Trump administration really is doing a disservice to itself by not getting out in front of this. What if they you know, the we got China to ease up on some of the tariffs they put on our the stuff that we export to them? Would that increase demand? What or Japan or any of these places that put, you know, tariffs on our products? And one could argue what the Trump administration is doing by fighting their tariffs with our retaliatory tariffs is making the demand, you know, increasing the demand in these other markets, and making our products, you know, more valuable and more of a demand for them, and perhaps even creating jobs. So they're not doing that, and I think we're just getting one side of it. I'm not saying that tariffs are good or bad, but I do think there's another side of this story, and I think that it needs to be told, and they're just not doing it. And that's kind of what I wrote for Yellowhammer. The piece that just went up is they're just getting clobbered. They're losing the public relations war, and they need to really think about this and retool their strategy.
It's surprising to me that they wouldn't have a surrogate with that message, because if you listen to any political ad on the Republican side right now, it's always, you know, who is the most dedicated to President Trump? It seems like there should be a long line of people that would do this.
Well, let's think about that. If you're a Democrat running, and these tariffs are so toxic and so bad for the state, even Kay Ivey is out there publicly criticizing them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have other Republicans, and there's newsprint tariffs. There's the agricultural tariffs that people are worried about with soybeans and peanuts in different parts of the state. There are all these tariffs. Yeah, we see these political ads. You see Tweekle Kavanaugh talking about what a great Trump ally she is.
Right.
Let's just, for sake of argument, let's say she wins the nomination, or whoever it is wins the nomination. Even Kay Ivey, who ran as a Trump supporter during the primary earlier this month, who wants to keep a Walt Maddox, or what's to keep anybody else from running against them on the grounds that they support Trump, they must support his policies, therefore they are bad for Alabama's economy? I think that by them doing this, by the Trump people not really having a good message on this, because I couldn't tell you what it is, and I follow this pretty closely, I think it hurts Republicans, you know? So I would argue that I think there's a case for tariffs, but I you know, the nuance of it has got to be, the heavy lifting has got to be done by the Republican Party and by people that are in Trump's orbit. And then I think maybe we're not sitting here talking about how bad this is for Alabama. We would be able to at least acknowledge, well, I don't agree with Trump on tariffs. I think the free market is the way to go. But there is a case to be made that tariffs are necessary in some circumstances.
Okay, but you know, the two things are at play, and one of them would be anything you say now, next time there's a primary up and somebody's trying to primary you on the Republican side, if you come out now, like I said last week when Governor Ivey said what she did, that this will be taken out of context, you know, down the road, and somebody will say, at a critical time, Kay Ivey did not support President Trump, and without understanding the rest of the story. And I understand your side of it, too. I think it's good to bring a balance to this discussion on both sides. But there's also people that are scared to do anything now because having it used against them as some sort of, you know, attack ad bludgeon down the road.
Well, that's tough. That's politics. I mean, you know, a lot of politics is having to take stands on stuff, and it may not be, you know, it may not be the thing that's going to make you the most popular in the eyes of the voters always. Although I would argue the whole Trump thing is sort of a, you know, I think it's a lot of lazy consultants saying, well, those guys in Alabama, they love their football, Roll Tide, and they love their Trump. So you run your political ads with Trump or whatever. And then vice versa, if somebody's not sufficiently Trump, then they get that ran against them. Sure, but, you know, that's the consequences. And to me, right now, Kay Ivey, by doing this, is already setting herself up for that. Mm-hmm. She's already setting herself up, potentially, if she ever runs again in another primary where she has to defend herself from being Trump, sufficiently Trump, then this is obviously going to come up. And I you know, I wonder, the Republican Party as a whole, are they going to have to answer for this? But I think it would behoove them politically going into this midterm election, especially in Alabama with all these statewide offices, to get out in front of this, try to figure it out, and explain Trump's trade policy. I think that you could make a case in some circumstances for tariffs. I don't think tariffs are always off limits. No one is doing that, and it's going to hurt them in November.
All right. Tell you what, can you hold on with us for a couple minutes to come back? Because I want to talk about what was a big day for the president yesterday.
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. Jeff Poore joins us and continues our discussion. Yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion that doesn't seem to be happening in the state, is what Jeff and I just were talking about. You go with, you know, being anti-terrorist because short-term right now, what that means for jobs in Alabama, or do you follow President Trump for a bigger view, a 30,000-foot view, what it means for the economy going forward? I think it's a fair debate. We'll be right back. At 823 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey Bennett. Now, 1-800-GOT-JUNK's all over the country, but the franchisee for Mobile and Baldwin County, a buddy of mine, good guy. One of my buddies said the other day, which is a side story to the Crab Island story. He said, "Man, I met Trey Bennett at Gravine Island in the Delta." So, if you had questions about how down home, you know, we've talked about how the CEO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK changed his whole company when before he would franchise to somebody, he met with them personally, and he said, if they're not a person that I'd want to have, want to grill out with and have a beer in the backyard, then I wasn't going to sell them the franchise. He wanted them to be not only business folks, but just good people. And you see what that company did. It got huge. Well, Trey's the kind of guy that not only would be back in the backyard grilling with you, he'd also show up and see you at Gravine Island on a Sunday afternoon. But they do great work in Mobile and Baldwin County, commercial, residential, storage units. You got junk, you need it gone. You need it done quickly and efficiently. That is 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or just go out to Gravine one weekend and holler for Trey and see if he's there. All right, 824, continue our conversation with Jeff Poore, with Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. And we you know what? We'll do our expanded tariff conversation maybe on a midday show to come. Is that fair?
That sounds good to me.
Because, I mean, this, we go round and round. It's a lot of fun. But I do want to talk about yesterday, and near the end for SCOTUS, they got a couple other rulings to come out. But yesterday, a big day on a couple of fronts for the president. But the biggest one, Immigration Bill 3.0, the travel ban, that was a narrow decision, but a big win.
Yeah, I think so. It's important for the Trump administration to get some W's up on the board. If it had gone the other way, if it had gone for or against Trump, I don't necessarily think it would have given the Republicans a rallying cry as it has given the Democrats this morning. But I do think that it would give them at least some kind of ammunition to say, look, even the Supreme Court thinks this president's ruling illegally. They think he's wrong. And that would, you know, that could hurt him somewhat, or at least on the margins. So I think getting a win or two like that with the courts is important for Trump, and the Republicans have some momentum.
Now, you're talking about the Republicans having the momentum. Does he take the win yesterday from the Supreme Court decision and use that as leverage in Congress to maybe rein in some Republicans that needed reining in, and maybe convince some Democrats that are in these very specific districts where you have a Democrat running for office in a place that Trump won handily, to say, hey, maybe in the short term you need to, you buck Schumer and company and come, at least give me a little nudge or a little help here on immigration or something else.
I don't know. I think the choices are pretty stark when it comes to the electoral politics of it. I think that die has been cast, and we're already kind of too far down that road for a Joe Manchin or Heidi Heitkamp to play off a Trump and try to start playing ball with him. If they did, it would just look desperate. And all of a sudden, you wouldn't play ball with me before, but now you're wanting to. But I've always thought that the two camps are so, they're so in their positions, they're so solidified in their positions that they're not going to. I don't know that this really matters when it comes to the X's and O's in Congress and up on the Hill. It may scare away a few Republicans from kind of softening their stance on anything immigration, because they know it's just not a winner. It's given some kind of credibility. It's made valid by the Supreme Court. So trying to oppose Trump on it might, be damaging to you in some circumstances.
Let's talk about yesterday and the political tides here in the midterm. Kind of walk us through stuff that happened outside the state of Alabama, but primaries that are of note.
Well, I think the biggest one everyone's talking about this morning is Joe Crowley losing his primary to a 20-something year-old socialist. I think the story that a lot of people are talking about is just what's going on in the Democratic Party right now. Is it undergoing its sort of metamorphosis from like what the Republican was going from, this Reagan sort of Tea Party conservatism, to more of a populist feel, more about America first and trade policy and immigration and things like that, and the culture? Are the Democrats looking more toward domestic issues, kind of dovish on foreign policy, and is it undergoing some kind of changes? And I think in some places it is. I think there's a far left. I think what's been bred out of Trump's presidency on the left, a lot of activism, the whole resistance thing and all of that, but I think what has been bred out of that is sort of it's drifting further and further to the left. That's just a consequence of it, and that's what we saw last night. I think that's no small thing.
Okay, is there an analog here between, is socialist a left-leaning version of populism? In other words, you're talking about the Trump, and I said that through the primary, and a lot of people, when they say, well, this is conservative, I said that actually it's populism, a little different flavor here. So as populism has changed the face of most of the Republicans, is socialism, the Bernie Sanders brand of socialism, change the Democrats long term?
I do think that they're going to have to at least appeal to that sort of base. The whole idea in a general election, especially this midterm, is going to be turnout. And you're going to have to preach these sort of tones, I think, to get people to come out and vote. It's no longer going to be enough to say, well, our at least our guy's not as bad as that guy. It just doesn't get people to the polls, right? So I think when you got to start talking about sort of this democratic socialist thing, is kind of like what the idea of what's going on in Europe would work in the United States. And I think there's a lot of people in this country, especially in the Democratic Party, that believe that. And you got to start talking that way to get them to come out and vote. I mean, that's just obvious. If you don't, you may lose. And that's sort of what's going on. I don't know that it's quite to the point where you would have a socialist candidate as a Democratic nominee. I don't, Bernie Sanders or some incarnation of Bernie Sanders, I don't think it's quite there yet. There's just too many other places in the country that are more moderate than New York. So yeah. That's, but we are trending in that direction. And that's something that they're going to have to kind of deal with, I think, going forward if they want to be successful.
All right, Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time. If people want to reach out to you online, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right, good stuff. And tell everybody up there in the Tennessee Valley, I said, what's up?
I will, and I'll let them know.
Thank you, man. Coming right back. More Mobile Mornings right here at FM Talk 106.5. And you, we need you to do your part. 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple of concepts talked about there with Jeff. We'd love to hear from you next. All right, 837, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Kane, Dr. Bill with traffic, and you at 343-0106. And the hatchback is back. The hatch is back.
Yes.
And Mazda, you are. You said you're taking a trip back through history here as you've gone to the hatch, yes. First hatchback you've been in
years.
In 2 or 3 years.
I like the way
you
did that.
Thank
you.
I'm a smart man. Well,
good morning, everyone. So what we do is we get to... Well, I should say I get to test out a new vehicle every 2 weeks. So we're with all-new Dean McCrary Mazda. And this week, I have been testing out the 2018 Mazda 3 hatchback. And I'm proud to say I've come up with a name for him.
Okay.
And now let me give you some details, and then I'll reveal his name at the very end. Okay, so this is a five-door vehicle. Of course, it seats five. I love the touchscreen display because, you know, you can... actually touch the display and change the channel, if you will.
Right.
You can find out how your fuel is doing, when you need repairs. You can hop on the, when it comes to your music, you can choose your channels.
It's like you're on the bridge of the Enterprise.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But be careful while you're driving.
Yes.
Okay, and this vehicle, just like the last, great on gas mileage. I know a lot of our listeners, they commute back and forth across from different counties or sometimes different states, and you need a vehicle that won't break the piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
This is your vehicle. HD radio, of course, push button trunk, that aggressive grill, and your airbags are there as well. Don't forget about the rear view camera, which is very important because this is the time of year where children are playing outside, mm-hmm. and you want to be careful when you're backing it up.
Yep.
So I've told you that. Oh, and also this is sport mode. So you've got 6-speed automatic transmission. Okay. So you can go from zoom to zoomier.
So, okay, well, we got the reveal coming?
Yes.
Okay, I got to set it up this way.
Okay.
And
so let me tell you the last guy, last vehicle's name while you get that set.
Okay.
Goodbye, White Lightning.
Yes.
Hello, Maximus.
Maximus.
Ooh. Yes. Yes. I toyed with Silver Surfer or Silver Fox.
Right.
Maximus did it. You know, he's... got a lot of trunk space, and that's one of my favorite features on this hatchback.
My.
Yeah, so that's his name.
Love the Gladiator reference.
And I will post pictures and videos soon, so now, see, he needed a name before I could show him off to people.
Before you introduced him.
Yeah, so Maximus is available at the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda dealership. They are located, and did you know this? They have the largest flag in the state of Alabama, American flag in the state of Alabama. Look for that and go on and see everyone there. They will be happy to assist you. You also can call them at 471-DEAN. Maximus will be very happy with you.
I know Mazda USA actually listens to you because they retweet you and stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe they ought to think that's a pretty strong name for a model of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's no joke.
Because there's a Maxima, right? That's nice. But how about Maximus? Huh?
Gluteus.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. Grab some text and calls here at 343-0106, 343-0106. Yes, and more people with the... I told y'all I will do the fireworks thing when we get closer. Just because I mentioned the fireworks at Dolphin Island, it's like, have we... I know y'all got them too. Summerdale's got theirs coming up what is it? Now I've lost the thing. It's June. Oh, it's at the end of June, so it's happening a couple days beforehand. Also... yes, somebody, Kenneth Moss Trump. Yeah, that's going to be part of this. And an interesting question I'd like to pose to folks. If you are an elected official in Alabama right now, and you're looking at this, I want you all to just delve into your brain there and think about how you would play this. Do you back tariffs or not? Because for some big-name businesses, right, the big car manufacturers employ a lot of people, can hold press conferences and all those things, they're going to be squeezed by this, right? Because we have foreign auto manufacturers, because that's what happens. That's what came to the South. That's what came to Alabama, Tennessee, and South Carolina, right? These three states that are really engaged in automotive, we're looking at foreign producers. So that's your bread's buttered there a little bit with having your constituents employed.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, down in our area, the Port of Mobile will have issue with you know, exports coming out of here, it means something. Versus what Jeff talks about, which is across the line from my argument, but I'll make his argument too, is that the long-term effects of these tariffs have been states like Alabama that have lost things like textile manufacturing and light manufacturing jobs over time. And if you attempt to bring that back, or the coal industry, which, by the way, Drummond Coal on trial right now, you try to bring these things back, you would do that by protecting the American coal industry, or, you know, textiles, or steel. Those things would be important. So which path do you take as you look at this?
Well, I think right now, in this day and age, obviously it pays to be Moss Trumpier than everybody. I mean, we've even seen it last night with McMaster. It seems like every one of these runoffs or primaries that we've been watching, the candidate backed by Trump seems to be coming out on top. I mean, of course, there are some that haven't won, but I think... Yeah, to play it right in Alabama, it'd be really interesting if we had a candidate who said that they back most, if not all, of Trump's moves, but if it comes down to it, they're going to be more pro-Alabama when it comes to stuff like that, and wouldn't be afraid to go against Trump in instances where Trump's moves would hurt Alabama.
Right.
But above all, pro-Alabama business. I think that'd be really interesting. But then what would their candidate do, and what would they prey on? Would they call them the least Trump?
Yeah, they're opposing Trump at every move or whatever. But I can argue, too, you say, to benefit Alabama business. This is one of the discussions of will there be a phoenix from the ashes with BCA, Business Council of Alabama? Because the companies that left there, first of all, let me point out, Alabama Power was a big story leaving BCA. They're a flipping utility, okay? Mm-hmm. You're talking about something that is not a small, medium-sized business, a utility that doesn't compete, right? A utility that has a monopoly, therefore regulated by the PSC. Yeah. Then you had regions, and you have Power South, and you have Blue Cross Blue Shield. These big quasi-monopolies or true monopolies or just big businesses that are going to, are their interests, can their interest be the same interest of a person like me? Can their interest be the same interest as somebody with a medium-sized company in the state? So if you say, you know, you're going to do what's right for Alabama businesses, which Alabama businesses are you talking about, too?
But what you're saying makes a lot of sense because you've laid it out. But I think what happens is people are afraid to catch the wrath of the president and disagree with him. And you look at what's, like we were talking about during the break with Harley Davidson. I mean, their tweet, the CEO of Harley Davidson tweeting out, "Our decision to move some of our operations is 100% based on President Trump's tariffs. Mr. Trump knows nothing about economics and even less about trade. The man is a moron."
That's ridiculous on Harley's part. I mean,
from a CEO, you wouldn't expect that.
It's a bad choice as a CEO of a company that sells motorcycles all over the fruited plain. Bad choice.
And of course, you know, the president's not going to take that, and allow that to just sit there. He, of course, responded, and I'm tweeting out both sides of this so people can understand what's going on. I think that there may be people who respectfully disagree, but they're afraid to say something for them to think that they're not supporting our administration, for them not to think that they're supporting our president. And so it's a little gun shy, if you will, with disagreeing. And so I think that there's a number of companies who may be watching the situation play out. Okay, so Harley said something, now the president said something. What's going to happen next?
The smart company does is shuts up
and does their job.
Yeah. Well, it seems like no one ever wins the war of words against Trump. Yeah. And when he came out with that tweet,
he happens to be president of the United States. Yeah.
But he's also a master of using Twitter and using the media to his benefit. And we saw that yesterday when he tweeted about Harley Davidson. Yeah. And he said, listen, they were planning on moving. And, he said that he gave them all the information they needed on these tariffs and everything.
Right.
But that they were using the excuse of the tariffs to move anyway. Using it as cover.
That's interesting.
And to me, that looked like he pretty much immediately won the war of words there against Harley Davidson. Now, if he gets into it with a politician who's running for office, I think there's a way to tactfully disagree with Trump. And that
okay, that's interesting. Does that third position exist?
I think maybe if you more or less, you know, give Trump his props, say, I love everything that you're doing. I love the direction you're putting America in, but this is going to hurt my state. And if I'm elected to this position, you have to understand that I need to do what's best for my state.
I'm Alabama first.
I'm Alabama first.
Because the people of Alabama, that's who elected you to be in that position. You're supposed to be the voice of those who live here, not appeal to everyone everyone else outside of the state.
Well said. Let me grab a call here before we go to the break. And also, yes, thank you. Town of Somerdale shooting fireworks Saturday night. Saturday night at 9 p.m. All right, so that's duly noted. Let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, first of all, respectfully disagree, and you don't call somebody a moron and be that doesn't jive, you know?
That's what we just said.
That's what we just said, John. Respectfully disagree.
That's what we said. We agree with you.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. I got a finance degree in college, but the preamble to the Constitution says we the people of the United States of America, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then how is 17 states suing the Trump administration for violation of constitutional rights of illegal immigrants? How is that not a frivolous lawsuit?
I don't know. I mean, you're asking me to...
They're illegal to start with.
Right. So what do you think?
They're not citizens.
Right. Yeah. These are all facts. Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, what am I supposed to say here?
I don't know. Help me understand why...
Okay, I can't help you understand, states. John. I don't get it. It having me defend something that attorneys general did elsewhere. I mean, I appreciate the call, but I'm not here as their mouthpiece. Sorry. Coming right back to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Yes. We will have a list of where there are fireworks displays up.
Boom,
coming up very soon. We'll post that to our Facebook page and have it up through Independence Day.
So I wanted to get to the tweet that the president tweeted out because, you know, I like to show both sides. Mm-hmm. So no one tries to point a finger, of course. That's what you do when you're being fair. So the president tweeted out, when I had Harley-Davidson officials over to the White House, I chided them about tariffs in other countries like India being too high. Companies are now coming back to America. Harley must know that they won't be able to sell back into U.S. without paying a big tax. And then a little bit later, this was yesterday, at Real Donald Trump tweeted out, a Harley-Davidson should never be built in another country. Never. Their employees and customers are already very angry at them. If they move, watch. It will be the beginning of the end. They surrendered. They quit. The aura will be gone, and they will be taxed like never before.
There you go. What's your take on that? And also, what's your take on it from an Alabama perspective? Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. If you believe that Governor Ivey's in a quandary on this, do you say, and once again, to balance things out, Jeff and I have a great debate. This is one of these, you know, there's a bunch of things Jeff and I disagree on. It's fun. I enjoy those debates because he has good points that the state of Alabama, long term, by not being protected by tariffs, has lost a lot of jobs and employers. But then I can say pragmatically that today, here in June of 2018, your bigger danger is losing these some number of jobs from these big auto manufacturers and trade coming out of the port and things that are clear and present. So it's a tough one to do. Let's go to Greg in beautiful Orange Beach first. Hey, Greg.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Firstly, I want to talk about the this trip to Washington. You know, Bradley Byrne is way more than capable of handling this whole issue. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to come to Baldwin County. And I think the efforts of Bradley Byrne is what will keep it from happening. What really gets me is that when you have a runoff candidate that is willing to make what I think is an unnecessary trip to Washington, primarily to further his agenda and get on TV, think it's incredibly disingenuous.
Well, you know, I will say, just to play devil's advocate, that he did go 2 years ago as well when he wasn't running for office. He was part of the delegation that went up there during the last time this happened, whatever that year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, and again, I think that is, I think it's a waste of taxpayers' dollars. We have local senators and congressmen, that's their job to fight that fight.
Why do you got to bring civics into this, Greg? Why do we? Why, Why do you have to take us back to school?
I just think that any reasonably astute person would look at it, even if this was not an election year and in a runoff. I think anybody who really thinks about it and who pays a lot of taxes would think, why is this necessary? Even if it's in the budget, even if there are travel dollars in the budget, those travel dollars would be more wisely spent on issues that our local federal delegation is not more than capable of handling.
There we go. Greg, I can't disagree with you, man. David in Mobile up next.
Hey, I just got, I don't know if you mentioned this or I haven't heard it, about these tariffs.
We've been talking, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point I'm trying to make here is, I was trying to make, is, you know, a lot of people were before all for the tariffs. Now, when all of a sudden it's going to affect us here a little bit in Alabama, we don't like it. We've got to be one of the two. We'll be for the tariffs.
Okay, so that's good. So which one are you? That's a great point you're making. So which one are you for?
Well, I look at it this way. We're all in the same boat. The boat goes down, we all go down. You can't just save your compartment and the boat not go down. So what I'm saying is, yeah, we've got to look at what's best in the United States, and hopefully that will trickle down to us. Maybe it's something, you know,
even if there's pain in the short term, you're saying, even if we do lose jobs in Alabama in the short term, you think the national floating the whole boat is the right idea?
I'm hoping that's it. That, you know, it's United States of America, not the United States of Alabama.
Well, we petitioned for that.
Maybe we have to bite the bullet a little bit, but hopefully we get some payback in the long run.
Hey, David, see, I appreciate that. One of the perspectives, but well put. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Jeff Poore was discussing. And even though I'm on the other side of it, I absolutely respect. That's a well thought out measure there. Thank you, David. And we're going to pick this conversation back up, I know, on the Midday Show today. Also, some stadium talk.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of the headlines that came out yesterday aren't fair. We're talking about what's on. When they said stalled, they didn't do anything, no decision on the stadium. They weren't planning. They were just hearing it yesterday.
Well, they would know that if they listened to FM Talk 106.5,
right.
Namely Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, news directors, TV news directors. Okay, we'll be back noon today. Laura Ingram next.